I really didn't want to speak with Cheryl. I mean, I thought, hey, there's this nice lady, but, you know, back off. I'm really not ready to talk about this.
So how did the rapport get established then between the two of you?
Frankly, I think it was Cheryl's persistence. It really wasn't something that I sought out actively, but Cheryl did. And I think she is very in tune with the patients here and certainly has an expertise in kind of feeling out someone's personalities and understanding that, you know, some people may take some more time, but that her calling is to be a lamp and shine a light for people and give them hope. And I think she could really sense with me that I wanted that, but I wasn't ready to really open up.
What did you end up talking about? What types of things, just in general?
Well, I kind of turned the tables on her, and she was nice enough to open up about her own family, her own experience, her children, her husband. And once that occurred, I felt more ready to kind of open up myself about how I was feeling and what was going on with me. She's a human being, and we could relate to each other as human beings.
So what would you say was the help or solace, as you put it, comfort that you received from the chaplain?
Now, Cheryl is a chaplain, but she does not, she's not an evangelical. She's not going around trying to save anyone. But certainly, I think the power and the gift of what she represents is something that can overcome any barrier. And eventually, I think I became more active in my church. I became I relied more on my religious beliefs and experiences. And as that happened, Cheryl and I were able to come together and really make an experience that is very scary and fearful into one that is more peaceful and tolerable and comforting, ultimately.
How would you say that she gave you hope?
By speaking to me as a person, she's certainly not patronizing, or, you know, she doesn't condescend to, and she doesn't pretend to understand exactly what you're going through, but offers an outlet for you to speak about anything. And she can really tolerate the tears. She can be present for the pain. She can really be available through it all without judgment and without being reactive.
And I guess this is something that you really cannot do with your doctor. I mean, perhaps there's just not time.
Absolutely. I think, well, actually, I have to say I can do that with my oncologist because he's great. But for the most part, you're absolutely right. There isn't that comfort level. It's not what they're there to do. And then they don't have the time set aside really to do it.
People often say that cancer is a transformative experience in their life. What was your experience like?
It was a layer of losses, a systematic experience of being stripped of an outward and superficial identity. I had already decided to be a stay-at-home mom, so I didn't have that professional identity to really kind of buoy me up. Losing my health, losing my stamina, so becoming sort of isolated in that regard. And so here I am then, I'm a human being, alive, but what is my identity? How do I find meaning in my life now without being the person that I was before? And I think that was the ultimate gift, because the truth is that all of us are worthy and lovable as we are, without the buildup, without the markers, without the identifiers that we fall back on every day to make ourselves feel worthwhile. And so for me to be free of those things and to be able to feel love for myself without those identifiers allows me to feel love for everyone else too.
And how would you say you're doing now?
Before treatment and before my, I guess, religious enlightenment and relationship with Cheryl and moving forward, I wasn't doing very well. And I think now I am doing better than I ever have. I have much more peace and love and comfort in my life, and I feel really stable, even though my circumstances really haven't changed that much. My cancer is in remission. I have 3 more years before I'd be pronounced cancer-free, but I just got a PET scan done today to see, you know, if it's returned or not, because I'm starting to have symptoms again. But it could be anything, as I said, you know, you never know. But, you know, it's a difficult journey. Once your treatment has stopped, your experience with cancer doesn't stop. And that's something that you deal with really forever.
Well, we'll certainly be rooting for you and wishing for the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcia.